Good morning, everyone. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Three times, because peace to you, to those around you, and peace in our troubled world. All right. So those who are joining us on site, I invite us to greet one another with love and smiles and acknowledge that we have come together as God's family. Those who are online, don't be shy, send a word out. Text one another, send a message on our YouTube channel, and our moderators will interact with you. Right, welcome home in this morning. Right, welcome to FCC's our Sunday service and worship. Right, before we go into today's theme, our sermon is to go abide and bear fruit. Right, so as we reflect on prepare ourselves, our hearts to reflect on this message, I invite all of us to rise, all right, and to discover that God is with us and among us. Come, walk in green pastures.
We follow the shepherd.
Come, lie down in green pastures.
We trust the shepherd.
Come, dine at the table of abundance.
We are fed by the shepherd.
Come, dwell in God's house.
We live in the shepherd's care.
Loving shepherd, you know our names. You care for us. When we face darkness and death, walk beside us. When we hunger for your love, fill us with your presence. When we are fearful, feed us at your table.
May we dwell in the house of goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Amen.
Let's remain standing, and those online and on-site, let's join the worship team for a time of worship.
Quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. Show me who I am.
I am.
I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, but you catch me when I'm falling. And you told me who I am. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. And the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, the voice of truth, the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me.
One more time, church. The voice of truth.
The voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. All the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of
Jesus, no one ever will Who compares to you? Set the stars in their place. You who calm the raging seas that came crashing over me. Who compares to you? You who
join me, time of prayer. In this season of Easter, we proclaim Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. But we also struggle watching wars over the world, and especially in the Holy Land. And it's not easy to proclaim resurrection and Christ's victory when all things are still not well, when we are so far from shalom, from the wholeness and restoration of all things. But just like the disciples, after Jesus appeared to them, they too struggled. Jesus tells them to go out into the world in Acts. And guess what? 8 chapters later, they were still in Jerusalem. So God, help us recognize our resistance to your call and invitation to participate in the new life that you invited us to live into. the new life that's not just for us personally, but for all the world, to bring shalom, restoration for all people and not just for ourselves. We want to lift up all the situations that are broken in this world right now, victims of natural disasters, victims from war and conflict. We want to lift up those who are struggling with health issues. And we ask sometimes for alleviation, God, and sometimes for that acceptance of what conditions that we might struggle with. And God, we ask for healing. That healing that may not necessarily come as cure, but the embrace of what we live with. We want to lift up broken relationships, whether it's with our friends, family, co-workers, or neighbors. We pray that there can be restoration. And we pray that we learn how we can take steps to reconcile, to let go of our resentment, so that there can be restoration. Let go of our need to control. God, we want to lift up our community as we cast visions of what we can be ahead, how this space can enable us to live out our values, our principles that's in alignment with Jesus' teachings. Help us foster a place that's truly welcoming of all people. So God, empower us. Empower us with the power of Easter, the power of resurrection, the power of new life, that we know that we are joined with you. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue worshiping together.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I love you as a Savior. I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so. The goodness of God. Jesus is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Your goodness.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Your goodness.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to all of you to FCC. Before we start and go into the time of, you know, looking into God's Word, I wanted to invite you to get onto menti.com. This is our way of interacting during the sermon. I'd love to hear your input. So please either scan the QR code or you can enter the short link fcc.li/menti. And it will take you to the slides we have for today. All right? So I'll just give you a few seconds to kind of do that. Great. Will you join me in a word of prayer as we begin? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, God, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, who calls us to abide and bear fruit together with you and one another. Amen. So on Easter Sunday, we saw how Jesus sent Mary Magdalene to be the first apostle to the apostles. Mary Magdalene couldn't have imagined that Jesus would send her out as the first witness to his resurrection and as the first apostle. Because women were not even considered reliable witnesses then. They couldn't even testify in court then. But Jesus was intentional in choosing Mary Magdalene. He was making a point. What Jesus was saying in giving Mary Magdalene that charge was, this is exactly why I chose you. I want the world to know that regardless of your gender, whether you're female, male, non-gender conforming, you are equally beloved and your voice is equally important. You are worthy not only of love, You are worthy to be called my disciples no matter what the world says. Jesus is intentional in choosing you, and me. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. But before we can go bear fruit, Jesus says there's something very important that we need to do first. So let me take you through John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17. We can explore this couple of verses together, okay? So Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's telling them, I am the real vine and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so that it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on a bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. And this is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. I have loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. And that's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. And I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. And this is my command, love one another the way I love you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No. I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember. I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. And as fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. In our contemporary culture, we celebrate individuality more than communality, right? And we often think of the Christian life as a one-on-one kind of transaction between a single believer and her God. Well, I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord. We talk about our spiritual journeys by referring to my prayer life, my worship, my relationship with God. And even if we join a larger Christian community or church, we mostly do so with a consumer mindset, appearing when we feel like it and quitting when it no longer serves our purposes. Or maybe when we experience conflicts or challenges. And this is understandable, right? In our culture today, we all cherish our personal space and our freedom. So it's no surprise that people come and go. And post-pandemic, it's even harder because there's always the option of attending a service online. Hello, those online. You are still loved, okay? So I must admit, it's becoming harder and harder to grow and nurture a community well. And this is true not only for FCC, it's true of churches all over the world. So given this context, the context that we live in, the vision of the Christian life that Jesus offers us in this week's scripture reading is a radical and countercultural one. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. And not only that, he continues, anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on a bonfire. Wow, really dramatic, right? Jesus chose this metaphor very intentionally. Through this metaphor, what Jesus is really saying is this. We are completely dependent on Jesus for life and fruit. In verse 4, he says, live in me. Make your home in me as I do in you. And in the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. As Richard Rohr wrote, the only basis for fruitful Christianity is divine union. So I was just very curious and wanted to poll you, right, and ask you, what do you think is the job description of a branch? Right? Jesus talks about all this whole thing about vine and branches and all that, right? And since we are supposedly branches, right, what do you think is your job description? I mean, what is a branch supposed to do? And as you all are filling it up, it's a bit got feedback, right? Is it uncomfortable for you all to hear? Is it okay? Okay. Cool. Yes. So put in your words on the word cloud. I mean, what is your job description as a branch? What do you think God expects of you? An extension of the vine. So you're a part of the vine, right? Extension. Very good. To support, to connect. Yes, to connect, right? Connect what? With the vine, yes. Are you supposed to connect with the other branches as well? Yes, right? Inherently supposed to be one whole big tree, I guess, right? Right, to grow, yes, right? To bear fruits, yeah. Right, that's part of the role of a branch, right? You kind of bear fruit. To follow Jesus, to love one another, yep. To abide by the tree, by the vine, yep. To provide nutrients. Ah, does the branch provide nutrients? But to deliver the supply, maybe? To kind of be a conduit, right, for the nutrients, right? We kind of are not the ones providing the nutrients, but we help to channel the nutrients, right, throughout the tree, right? Yes, that's possible, right? Produce, pass along food. That's very good. It's like delivering the supply, right? To extend to get sunlight, well, yeah, I guess. Reaching out to multiply, a conduit, and there you go. Right? To support the birds, I guess it's a by the way thing, right? Bonus, you happen to be there, the birds come. So maybe. To hold it together. Commitment to each other. Amazing. Some of you are already going ahead, right? You're seeing the big picture here, right? Yeah. The job description of a branch is all that. At the very heart of it, the job description of a branch is actually firstly, and most importantly, to absorb all the life-giving nutrients it can from the vine. That's actually the primary job of a branch. While, by the way, you kind of pass on some of the nutrients, you know, hopefully you will bear fruit as a byproduct, but the job of a branch is basically to absorb all the life-giving nutrients it can from the vine. That's your job. Nothing more and nothing less. Because that is how a branch bears fruit. It has to stay connected to the vine. And without that connection, there is no fruitfulness. So being is a prerequisite for doing. Throughout this whole sermon series on goal, obviously starting with goal, you know it's an action, it's a verb. Obviously we're going to do things. I thought I wanted to, at least in this second week of this series, to pause to remind us that as we think about going, as we go into the world, like Myak said last week, as we think about our role in bringing shalom in the many different dimensions in this world, I want you to remember that being is a prerequisite for doing and for going as well. That good trees bear good fruit. If you focus on absorbing all the life-giving nutrients from the vine, you will bear good fruit. In Matthew 7, verse 17 to 18, Jesus says this, right? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So if you focus on being, that will be that prerequisite for your doing. If we stay connected to the vine, if we abide in God's love and make our home in Christ, if we focus on absorbing all the life-giving ingredients, the nutrients that God seeks to give us, we will naturally bear good fruit. Staying connected to vine means that we are present with God throughout the day, as best as we can. We pay attention to the work of God within us and all around us. We seek God through spiritual practices like silence, solitude, study, prayer, self-examination, simplicity. And I wonder, how are you all doing with regards to abiding in God's love and staying connected to the vine? And I'm not going to ask you to answer that on a mentee question. I just wanted to really pause in the middle of the sermon for a moment and to allow you a few moments to reflect on this. Within our deep and tender inside spaces, there's a bright light to tend and care for. Within each of us, we have a light to tend and care for. Especially in this season of Easter, God has shone this bright light of God's presence and new life in each one of us. How are you tending and caring for your inside spaces? How are you tending and caring for your connection with the vine? Is there something you'd like to perhaps do differently to enhance your absorption ability as a branch? And as we reflect on that, I want to let you know that there is one more very, very important element that we often forget with regards to this metaphor. Not only are we to stay connected with our vine, we are all entangled with each other as branches. And we are connected to that same vine. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And this means whether we like it or not, our lives are bound up in His and in each other's. This also means that the only true life we will live in this world is a life that we consent to live in relationship, messy and entangled as it is, right? And this means that the only fruit worth sharing, worth bearing, bringing into the world is the fruit that we produce together. So Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber, she explains it very well. She says, Christianity is a lousy religion for the I'll do it myself set of people, right? Because we are meant to be tangled up together. We are meant to live lives of profound interdependence, growing into, around, and out of each other. We cause pain and loss when we hold ourselves apart, because the fate of each individual branch affects the vine as a whole. And in this metaphor, dependence is not a matter of personal morality or preference. It's a matter of life and death. Branches that refuse to cling to the vine die. the vine and branches are intrinsically entangled in each other. Church is about worship, yes. And it's also about relational connection. Recently, I've been speaking with some of you, and you've shared with me honestly that sometimes when you come to church in person, you're disappointed because some of the friends that you used to hang out with after church, perhaps they don't come as regularly, or maybe they don't come anymore. And this feels demoralizing, right? It may cause some of us to maybe attend church in person less regularly because there's less motivation, right? And I want to say that this is completely understandable. And I feel that sense of loss and sadness with you. So I just wanted to ask you, I don't know how many of you feel this, but do you miss your friends whom you used to fellowship with at church? Some of you are new, so maybe you're only starting to make friends, right? Maybe it's your first time here as well, so maybe this is not very applicable for you. I apologize for that, but I'm just curious, right? Like, how many of us share that sentiment? That we come to church and we go like, oh, where are all my friends? They're online, right? Some of them. And sometimes we are online, right? So do you miss your friends whom you used to fellowship with at church? Some of you say no, okay? I'm glad. Maybe, right? But the majority of you says yes, right? Yes. Yes, because we know that we don't always see our familiar faces, right, when we come to church. And this is kind of sad, right? Because church is about worship. Yes, we worship together. But church is also about communal relationship. So I wanted to invite you to let's put our heads together and think about how we can make this situation better. The pastors, the leaders, the Sunday service volunteer teams, we can put in our best efforts to maintain a Sunday service every single week. We try our best, right? But whether people show up for church and connect with each other, that is something that we as a community can all work together in doing, in improving, right? I mean, whether people show up, whether we're able to connect, whether we hang out with each other, that's on us, all of us, right? The pastors can only do so much. We can only encourage, right? But we cannot force you to, right? So this is not just an issue for the pastors or the board or the council to solve. Much as we want to solve it, much as we want people to come back to church, it's an issue that all of us as branches connected to one vine need to solve together. So, since you miss your friends at church, and even for those of you who say you don't miss your friends at church, please help, okay? What's one thing that you can do to help our church be a more connective space? What's one thing you can do to help our church become a more connective space? You know, we very intentionally, after COVID, you know, we made sure that we had ACE events, ACE, which are after church events. We used to have them once a month on Sundays. Okay. And then, you know, we would have like gatherings, you know, we kind of bring people together. We try our best, right? So I see some of you have very creative ideas, right? Like force my friend to come to church. Okay, but please don't tell them that Pastor Pauline told you to force them, okay? Invite them sincerely and warmly, okay? Open jio, yeah, okay, open jio. Jio meaning invite, right? Like an open invitation to everybody. Invite friends to service and hang out after. Wonderful, right? You already took my suggestion already that I'm going to suggest to you. Be welcoming, yes. Guilt trip them. Okay, I don't know if this sermon is going well. I wanted it to go, but all right. I guess do what is effective. No, but don't guilt trip people, okay? It's an invitation. We want this to be something that comes from our hearts, right? We really want to see them. We really want to spend time with them. It's not about them showing up just for the sake of showing up. That is not what I'm trying to do, all right? I mean, many of you are here today, and many of you come regularly, and just want to thank you for doing that, for just showing up, right? Yeah, come to church more often, yes. Thank you. Start a queer Bible-based book club, yes, maybe, right? Definitely always have good ideas for different activities that we can do. Intentional programs to fellowship, okay, something to think about. More social activities, maybe other locations other than Commonwealth, okay? Respect safe distance, close but not too close. Sure, right? Post-pandemic, I think that's really important for many of us, right? Check in with friends who haven't been coming for a while, yes. Please do that. Check in on your other branches, right? Make sure that they're doing okay, that they're hanging on okay, right? By attending church in person myself, yes. Just showing up, being present, your face being here, your person being here. Having lunch together after service, yes. We may think that that's a very casual, like, whatever thing, right? But it's actually a really, really important thing, right? Because it actually those are where the real conversations happen, right? You know, so that's important. Free lunch event invitation, okay? Provide food, yeah, okay? Stop judging and love, yes, yes. That's why please don't guilt trip people. Set up online catch-up time, yes. Bring a photo to share, oh, that's so cute. Food unites, yes. Rotate volunteers to cater lunch after service. Wow, okay. Please let me know who you are and you know, I'll put you in on our rotation. More free food, movies, games after church. Okay. As a special needs person, I have to be mindful about how I speak and behave to people around me. I understand that and thank you for being so self-aware and help us also to know how to welcome you, okay? Invest time and effort to stay, yes. It takes intentional effort, right, to say, okay, I'm not going to make other plans for now. I'm just going to go for lunch, right, with some friends from church. Stay and be for each other is tough. Mm-hmm. Reach out and understand why and what makes them not turn up. Help them make it. Yes. You know, help understand why people are not coming. Why people are not coming back. What's been a barrier for people, right? What's the resistance? Help each other grow in Christ, not just hang out. I've answered maybe, and the reason is because we were just friends, not friends in God. Thanks for sharing that. I think, you know, last year when we said our theme was to walk each other towards growth and wholeness in Christ, I think that's really our ultimate goal, right? That as a church community, that's what we want to do. We want to be friends, but we also want to be fellow sojourners in this journey of life to help each other grow in Christ. Breakfast before church. Anybody will turn up for breakfast? I wonder, okay? Because I know this church, a lot of people are very late. Right? So I'm not sure if I provide breakfast if people will come. We should stop live service and work on activities. Well, we will not stop live service. And the reason why is this. Is because we actually have a lot of members who actually attend service from overseas. Right now, from the beginning of this year, we actually have two online cell groups that are fully online because there are one actually is a group of members from Europe, different parts of Europe. One is a group of members from Asia who do not live in Singapore. And so, amazingly, God is using us in a way to reach out to people internationally that way. And so we want to make sure that we are still able to connect with them that way. And so we'll always have live service, all right? Although I understand the intention behind that suggestion, right? Start a Zoom session, share screen, do service online together. Fun, right? That's also a great idea, right? You can attend service online, but don't have to do it alone, right? Or you can set up like parties, right, where you actually do it together. Find out what are the interests of the congregation first, okay? Attending church regularly, watch party, to watch sermon online together in a different area. Yeah, absolutely, right? Have more A's. Try to set aside time to have lunch with others. Guilt trip me. I would never come again. That's right, right? So please don't guilt trip anybody. More chance of the renovations with better layout. Absolutely. So later I will invite you, right, to input on that. But thanks for thinking about that. Grab voucher. Okay. Well, thank you so much for all your amazing suggestions. Some, I'm not sure if it's applicable or whether we can do it, but I appreciate all of your input, right? It's always very helpful to hear from all of you. I know people do crave for presence and community. And I know that because we had more than 100 people attend our church retreat last year. How many of you went for a church retreat last year? Right? And this was the biggest number we've ever had. And some had only been attending church a few times before that, before they signed up for the retreat. In fact, we had some people that we have never met before in person, and they appeared at the retreat, and we're like, oh, hello. And we got to know them during the retreat, right? People do want to connect relationally. But maybe it's easier when it's a kind of once-off event, right? Like a retreat. Easier to commit to, maybe. It does take more intentional commitment and dedication when it's something regular. But will you consider showing up weekly or monthly and making an intentional commitment to be here for yourself and for others in this faith community? Showing up consistently gives people a group of familiar faces that they can look forward to seeing and getting to know. I remember when I first started attending FCC more than 10 years ago, there were only a handful of women who attended regularly, very, very small group. And most weeks I would see different faces, and I realized that if we wanted more women to find a sense of belonging in FCC and begin to sink in their roots here, we need to have a regular group of familiar faces that people can recognize and get to know. So I committed to coming regularly, even though at that time I didn't know many people then. And we have an opportunity to do the same today, especially post-COVID. When most of us choose to show up, we will have a critical mass of people who will add a sense of stability and familiarity for others who choose to show up. Right? Church is as much about worshiping God as it is about connecting with one another. If you miss your friends, why not arrange with your CG friends, your ministry friends, your old friends, as some of you suggested up there, you know? Come attend church together and let's hang out after that. Let's have some deep conversations about how you're doing, about how life is going, right? Check in with one another. Check in with the other branches, right? Make sure that they're hanging on, right? Show up for yourself and for each other. So whether you're new or old, you know, please feel free to go find our lovely lunch khakis. We have lunch khakis on duty almost every week, except for weeks where we have newcomers meeting. You know, go find our lovely lunch khakis if you like someone to have lunch with. Maybe you're coming back after some time and it feels you need a little bit of, you know, reorientation. You need someone to have lunch with. Go find our lunch khakis. You know, and it might even be a chance for you to connect with our visitors, our newer members, and get to know people, and let them get to know you. And a friendly reminder to our lunch khakis, so please welcome anyone who wishes to join you for lunch, okay? Don't say, but you're so old already, or you've been around for so long, right? Just welcome everybody. Everybody who wants to go for lunch, let's go together, right? We need each other, and we are meant to be here for each other. Bearing fruit is not a solo work. It is something that we do together as a community. Before we can go, we need to come home to God and each other. Come home so we can abide and go bear fruit together more effectively. As a church, we have exciting plans coming up this year, and I don't want you to miss this opportunity to go bear fruit together as a community. We have the 1946 screening in May. We have Pink Dot in June. We usually also have a special Pink Dot service right on the Sunday after Pink Dot. We'll also be having our AGM in June instead of November, right, this year. So look out for more information that's coming up and the reason why we're shifting it to June. Okay. We also have the Cloud Project, something that you've probably been hearing about since the beginning of this year. This is our renovation project and our church-wide initiative to discern together who God is calling us to be and what we are called to do in the next 10 years or so. And since the beginning of 2024, we've had a few sessions of inquiring and imagining together. Inquiring, asking God, who are we? What makes us unique? Who are you calling us to be and to do? And what are we to do? And to imagine together how we are to make this space, how we are to make our culture, our church, relevant to our times, relevant to who God is calling us to be. And I want to say a big thank you to all of you who showed up, even though you didn't know what to expect, right, in that, those sessions. And you not only showed up in person, in your presence, you participated and you shared a piece of yourself with one another. And later you'll see all those pieces also kind of be added on, right, to this cloud of fire by day, by night, lah, yeah, and the cloud by night, right? And we just want to say something about, I just want to tell you something about churchwide events, right, initiatives, like the Cloud Project, our AGMs, etc., right? These are events and initiatives that should involve all of us, every one of us, right? They're not specific to a particular ministry or to a particular group of people. I've observed that even though we have more than about 120 members on paper, the attendance at our AGMs, for example, they hover at around 30 every year. And many of you have mentioned that, oh, you know, I have absolute confidence in the board, and you know that they and the members who do show up for the AGMs will make the right decisions for the church, right? Hence, you don't really feel the need to be present to listen to the plans and to vote at AGMs. So, I agree, and I think that we have a magnificent board and council, amazing leaders all around. And many of them take on not just compliance and fundraising responsibilities as board members. They serve in multiple roles in FCC too. And I'm very, very grateful for all of them. But some of them, if you don't know, have served for 20 years on the board. And some for more than 10 years. And they really, really need a break from board activities. So do consider if God may be calling you to serve the community in this capacity. But at the very least, do think about the importance of your presence and your input at churchwide events and initiatives. Your voice matters. Your presence matters. So for those of you who haven't had a chance to participate in the Cloud Project yet, we wanted to invite you, not guilt trip you, invite you by making it accessible for you, right? So you see on the board, on the wall there, for those of you who are here on site, you'll see the layout of our current space. And I want to invite you to consider what makes FCC who we are, what makes us unique, and how can our unique identity be expressed more in our space and culture of worship. And you will see on those green pieces of paper, those are instructions, okay? So it will take you through the process of how you can participate. And you can add on your post-its on the different spaces with all the different ideas, right? The whole idea is that we want to transform this space, not just for the sake of transforming it, but we want to transform it in a way that lives up to our calling. Our calling is a church for one another, but also for this community in Singapore and maybe beyond, right? So how are we going to use this space? How are we going to make this space multidimensional in a way that it would help us live up to our calling, all right? So just go have a look, go participate, see some of the ideas that people have put up there. Those came from all the like inquiring and the imagination and the dreaming that we came up with together, right? They are not confirmed, of course, yet, but at this point in time, we really want to hear all of your input. So I've said a lot of things this morning, but in summary, if there's anything that I want you to bring back with you, it's this. Jesus chose and appointed us to go out in the world to bear fruit. But we can only do so if we first abide in Him, our vine, and learn to bear fruit together. We are sometimes tempted to give up because we often treat Jesus as a role model and realize that, oh, we can't live up to His high standards of love, of sacrifice, of all the things that He does, right? But you see, abiding in Him, making our home in Him, is not the same as emulating Him. Debbie Thomas says, in the vine and branches metaphor, Jesus' love is not our example. It's our source. It's our source. It's where our love originates and deepens, where it replenishes itself. In other words, if we don't abide, we can't love. Jesus' command to us is not that we wear ourselves out, trying to conjure love from our own easily depleted resources. Rather, is that we abide in the holy place where human love becomes possible, that we make our home in Jesus' love, the most abundant and inexhaustible love in existence. Go abide in my love and bear fruit that will last. If we stay connected to our vine and each other, if we can commit to showing up and bear lasting fruit together, we will certainly change the world. Amen.
God knows us as no one else can, restoring our souls, healing our brokenness, nourishing us with bread and cup for the life of ministry. We remember how Jesus, our shepherd, took bread and after giving thanks, broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I now invite the stewards to come and distribute the elements.
For those at home, this is a good time to pick up your elements. We will take it together. Is there anyone who wants to take the elements but has not received it? Come to the table and feast with the shepherd. Let us partake of these communion elements together with thanksgiving. I invite everyone to stand in body or in spirit. God of love, you abide with us. Your loving presence steals us. You provide us with all that we need in abundance. Help us love one another in truth and action. Help us give of ourselves to those in need. Help us care for others the way our shepherd cares for us. May our lives reflect our wholehearted trust in our shepherd life. Amen.
I'm going to FCC. Next slide. You're on-site or online, right? We'd like to invite you to join us for a newcomers meeting happening on the 28th of April after the service. So if you have a question what this newcomers meeting is about, right, you can also reach out to us by info@freecommonchurch.org. It's a session, it's a very, very short session where you get together with the pastors and some leaders of the church. We get to know you, you can ask questions and know our mission and basically our DNA. So far, what's your experience like in church? What are some expectations? And how can we love you and serve you better? Alright? Next, we move on to the giving segment, right? And, on giving our offering. Right? Some administrative matters, right? We can give by QR code, by PayNow, by scanning the QR code above. Right? Please take note there are two pockets of funds. One would be the general. Operations. The other goes to the renovation fund. And as you know, this year is the year of our renovation, right? Great reset. Right? We want to refresh and renew the space, and we are hoping to really like front load the giving for the building maintenance, right, in the first half of the year. So if you can and if you have, you are able to, please give to the renovation fund ahead of time. You can also give by credit card through freecommchurch.give.asia. We strongly encourage folks, right, who are regular with us to give regularly. Right, you can set up a standing order by accessing the information on the bank account number stated on the slide, or you can simply go to our website. There are more details in terms of how to set up a standing instruction. Right. Now we come to a time, right? Not yet announcements. All right, I'm going to do a small little exercise for the offering. Okay, it's a time of bearing fruit, right? Today's message we got about bearing fruit. I'm really moved when Pauline shared about going to the soft, tender spaces within our hearts. And this is the ground, the soil where God's word is seeded in us. God's love and spirit come bring forth fruits. I like to, oftentimes, right, it feels like it's a collective. The offering period is a collective individual exercise. Everybody like, paisei lah, you know, it's a time, I'm very self-conscious. I'd like to invite you to see it differently. It's an opportunity for us to collectively practice to bring forth fruits of gratitude. A few months back, I mean last year, I think we preached about Diana Butler, gratitude, right? Living a life of gratitude. And gratitude is beyond a feeling. Gratitude is beyond what's in the heart. Gratitude comes alive when it comes forth in our behavior. It bears fruits in the real world. And each time we are given this opportunity to offer, it's a time we bring forth these fruits. We're going to do something slightly different today. Before I will be leading all of us into a prayer of offering prayer. There will be a very short one, but contemplative. All right? I will open with a short prayer. We'll go into three times, Lord, thank you. All right? You may choose to repeat after me. You may use this time to contemplate, to see your whole life as a whole. All the good parts, the bad parts, the shadowy parts. And the parts that gives you life, all of that, bring that into a conversation with God and see them as blessings. And thank you, Lord. Now, before that, how do we do this collectively? I'm going to invite you to do something a little bit uncomfortable. Okay, you may not feel very uncomfortable, but that's what being in community is sometimes. I like to... The people sitting around you, left and right, they may be your friends, they may be strangers. I like you to look to a person to the left and the right, look them in the eyes and say, thank you for being here. Right?
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for those online for being here. Now I'd like to invite you to raise your maybe one of your palms or both your palms and rest it on your chest. Feel the thumping of your heartbeat. I'd like you to extend God's love for you into that tender space of your heart and say to yourself, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Let us enter into this holy space and bear and show God the fruits of our gratitude. Blessed be God, everlasting and loving God. We thank you for the blessings we received in our lives, the fruits they have given to us. This money, these resources, this very life, we receive it as a grace and a gift from you. Lord, take these gifts, take all I have, my possessions, and all of me, and do the work, do your work in this world for your glory. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may I invite the stewards to come forth to take up the offering from those who are giving physically by dropping cash or check. You may raise your hands and our stewards will come forward to you. Next, we move on to announcements. We have three announcements today. First, very important, mentioned earlier, Pauline mentioned about the club project, tending to the house. Now, on the side, those who are joining us on site, right, you look to your side on the wall, you'll see the setup, right, like an exhibit, right, that's been set up. That will be a community space for us to imagine for our club project. There are some instructions there. I'd like to invite all of us after the service to go and take a look. Right? It's like suddenly I feel like I'm back in like La Salle or Nafa when we have like student projects, right? Yes, on the wall. And that's very exciting. It's very life-giving for me. So thank you for Zihao for setting this up, right? And I'd like to invite you to take a look after the service on some of the instructions how to come together collectively and participate in the club project. Right, where you can share thoughts, can share like gratitude and prayers, your imagination, your aspiration about the community, for the community, or even like complaints like say, hey, not enough toilet, or toilet need to be improved, right? Or things like you said you see improvements, right? It's vision casting. Come and share that with us. Right, what it makes FCC. This is the time to participate. Right, you don't need like 10, 20 years experience to feel connected with the church. This very moment, use this as an opportunity to plant yourself into the vineyard. Right, so don't hesitate. We look forward to your participation. Next, now we have an initiative counting on all, relying on everyone. That is CARE. So after service, we'll have two volunteers. Will be at the front of the service of the church, right? With the tag, CARE volunteer. All right, you see people with this tag, all right, and you can approach them for prayers, right? And whatever that is requested or prayed will be confidential, right? It will be kept safe, right? The people who volunteer has been trained. Next. Lunch Kaki is mentioned earlier. We have Lunch Kakis, and today's Lunch Kaki we have Chua and Daniel. Oh wow! Now upgraded. We have a sign aboard, right? So if you are new with us, you don't have to be new to join the Lunch Kakis. Everyone's welcome to join the Lunch Kaki, but especially if you're alone, you're looking to connect with a community, join us for Lunch Kaki after the service. So I come to an end of announcement. We'd like to invite the pastor to come forward to give us the benediction.
And very appropriate. May I invite you to rise in body and spirit. Jesus says, abide in my love. Abide and know that you're beloved. You don't have to do anything, be anything to abide. You just are a beloved child of God. And from that space, you're free. You're free to run. Because you are good trees, and you will bear good fruit. So go forth knowing whose you are and who you're set by. And make it into what God desires, the kingdom of God here on earth, now and forever. Go in love, go in peace, go in justice. Amen. Thank you for joining us this Sunday. We look forward to seeing you next week. And those who need prayer, please come up and the care volunteers are here. Thank you.